Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Henry Cloud, and your calls at 1-800-229-3000.
Appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. Hey, Henry.
Hey, Stevie.
And Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, everybody.
I have a question.
Okay.
Whoops, as I put mine on here.
Put your earmuffs on.
Okay. Now, in today's fancy world of technology,
yes.
Why do we still wear these big Martian football helmet things?
Yeah,
they look kind of funny.
Give us a bad hair day.
I see. Don't they have something that wouldn't be so goofy looking now that, you know?
Henry?
Maybe that's something for the break.
We have been looking for a successful author to donate the money to get out of these things.
Really?
Yeah. We just don't have the money. But the moment that
necessary endings, Henry.
Yeah, make
right?
us help us have a necessary ending.
Well, after the show, we may have to talk about getting a bunch of authors together to make a donation.
No one's more embarrassed than I. So, anyway, than me. All right. Hey, listen to this. I got this note. I wanted to say thank you for your love of wanting to help the hurting. My husband and I attended the New Life Weekend. That weekend was amazing. On the ride back to the event, my husband was in the back seat of our SUV, and when he left, he was carrying his Hope necklace in his pocket and does so every day. In other words, he was in the back seat, not wanting to connect with her, like she was dragging him there. Not to mention the friendships we made, and oh, how we laughed, Steve, you're a funny guy. But anyway, this is what happens when people
go to
the New Life Weekend, is that they move from the back seat to walking around carrying their memento of the weekend. It really is a great, great time. We get couples back together that were absolutely hopeless. So if you've ever thought about it, please come and go. These intensive times are really special times. We've been doing these for, I don't know, 10 years or 15 or 20, but they really do make a difference in people's lives. You guys have been doing them. You still do them. I just love the way it works. It's amazing.
It is amazing. You know, if you think of the way I think about it anyway, is there's kind of four categories or tributaries that change comes through, I think. And the first one is it's got to be relational. Mm-hmm. If we're going to grow, something relational has got to happen. Secondly, it's got to be information. We learn new ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We need principles. Thirdly, we have to have experiences that change us. You know, character, the Greek word for character means experience. So we got to have new experiences.
So it's not enough just to know.
You can't just know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the fourth one is there's got to be a structure to the process. And when you look at what happens in one of these weekends, you have high relational experiences down new paths in a very structured way that gets people from kind of, you know, A to C. Now, it's not going to get you to Z, but it's going to give you the tools to go from there and next week do D and E. And it becomes a huge change point, I think, in people's lives.
Yeah.
It's really powerful.
Well, we put it all together, and it is for you. And so if you're interested in a New Life Weekend, we have several different things coming up, and the next New Life Weekend is January the 22nd in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We have our marriage conference May 13th through the 15th. And by the way, this week I am in the Washington, D.C. area at Wednesday and Thursday night doing our radio rally, doing a pastor's appreciation with the WAVA group on Thursday around noon. It's going to be a great time, so please come and join us for that time. Now, we've got some callers on the line who are going to join us right after this, so please hold on. The number, 1-800-229-3000. And then we've got this other number if you need some help. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE and the website newlife.com. We really do want to help you. Let us do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
my clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're going to go to Wasilla, Alaska. Wait, somebody just, I was going to Wasilla, Alaska. Wasilla, Alaska just hung up. All right. Well, anyway.
And what was Sarah's question?
She was saying that we gave some bad advice to a caller whose husband was a methamphetamine.
You didn't get my joke.
What?
Isn't that where Sarah Palin's from?
It is. I think so. I think it is.
Was she calling in and we'll... A little advice.
Okay, that was funny, and I totally missed that. Anyway, maybe she'll call back and we'll go to her.
What was the question that the actual caller had?
They told me that she thought we gave bad advice to someone who had a husband who was a methamphetamine addict. So maybe we'll find out later how bad our advice was. Vivian from Chicago, Illinois. WYLL is the station. Hello, Vivian.
Hello, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How could we help you today?
Okay, I'll get right to the question.
Okay.
How do I start that process of wholeness with God so I won't need anyone else? I'm having some anxiousness or companionship on middle age.
Yeah.
Keywords, loneliness, really bad, and torment.
Okay, quick question. When you say so you won't need anybody else, you mean you want to move and live in a cave, or you talking about a husband?
Companionship, yeah.
What, husband or companionship?
Husband. Good husband. I'm middle-aged, and
Let me say a couple things about this, because this is a really, really important question. You don't solve loneliness by finding a husband. What lonely people do who find husbands end up in lonely marriages because either they can't connect and have an established connection around them in a sense of community, so they get in the marriage and they can't connect, or out of their loneliness and desperation, they pick detached men.
Now, she's wanting to not do that.
Right, exactly. So what I would tell you is the last thing that you need first, if you can follow that.
The last thing first.
Last thing you need first is a husband. First thing you need is a spiritual community of a few people that you're so deeply connected to in your hearts, as Paul says, knitted together. So the last thing you do is ever experience is loneliness. You have so much community in your life and vibrancy, and you're out there doing stuff and growing and all this, that you're not lonely. You need to be a not lonely single person. And then you might find whatever you find or don't find.
Now, you're saying I want to get close enough to God to fill up so I don't get desperate and need a husband, right?
Right. And let him go on and send him to me.
But,
you know, I don't want to preoccupy.
Yeah, no. But here's the thing. When you want to get close to God, you have to do what he tells you to do. And what he tells you to do, he says, don't stop gathering together. He's wanting you to be in community with his body, the body of Christ, the church. And, you know, there are these verses like confess your sins to one another, all sorts of one another verses that if you want to get close to God, you need to do what he tells you to do. And he wants you to get involved with that, like Henry's talking about, that community. And when you start to change and work through your difficulty connecting with other women and older women, things start to happen in your life you never dreamed would happen. Joe, you have a thought?
Yes, Vivian, absolutely. Don't pursue a husband, but pursue God via what these guys are talking about. Get involved in the church community. Get involved in a ministry. When you're doing things that really enliven your passions, you know, you're living where God wants you to live. So pursue God that way, and then he'll bring the people.
Yeah, and generally speaking, whenever we find ourselves trying to make a, you know, some sort of a people or God choice, then you better ask the next question is, to do what? See, if you're wanting God to fulfill the people needs that he put in you, he won't do that. He can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want people to fulfill the God needs in you, it won't happen either. So if you're looking for people that you can look up to and that will take care of your every need and that, you know, will, you know, be worthy of your worship and adoration and sacrifice your life for and, you know, all this sort of stuff that is God's role, then find God in those parts of yourself. But if you're looking for an end to loneliness and an end in having companionship and people to, you know, help you grow, etc., only people can do that, and that's why God gave us each other.
Well, I want to send you Jill's book, The Secrets Women Keep. I think it's a great book to help you try to break out of this loneliness.
There's a chapter on loneliness.
Right, so that is coming your way. Now I'm going to go to Virginia from Ardmore, Oklahoma. She watches us on the NRB network. Hello, Virginia.
Hello.
Thank you for holding on so long. God bless you there. How could we help?
I need to know how to pull myself out of a severe 5-year depression.
What happened 5 years ago, Virginia?
My last husband passed away. Before that, I was married 20 years to a guy that was real abusive, and then I met my last husband, and we hadn't been together but a couple of years, and he developed cancer, and, you know, I believed all the way through it that God was going to heal him. I took care of him at home, and at the cemetery, I just wanted to crawl in the casket with him because I just didn't, I didn't think I had any more reason to go on, you know, and I have got pretty much past that point to where I could thank God that he brought him in my life to show me through love.
Good.
And I was thankful that God used me to take care of him. I also was instrumental in leading him to God, but I don't have any ambition, no drive. I've slept pretty constant the last 5 years. Lost all my muscle mass. It takes all my energy just to take a shower and
you're depressed.
I've done this to myself. I've cheated God and my family and myself, you know.
Okay.
And, I feel like y'all need to just chew me up and spit me out.
No.
Well, first of all, our heart goes out to you because, you know, losing a spouse is like it's what is it that it's the number one or two, you know, majorist pains that people can go through when they look at the effect of life events on people. When you lose a spouse, that's you know.
Well, and especially after having such a hurtful relationship and finding someone you really connected with.
That's so sad. And the things that you're describing are really symptoms of depression. You know, no energy and no outlook for the future and all of that stuff. And what I would want you to do, first of all, before you figure out the other parts we'll talk about, I'd like for you to go talk to a doctor because it's very, very possible that your, you know, your bodily chemistry has gotten very depleted and kind of off track. And some of this stuff you may need some medicine for.
Do you have anybody that could take you to a doctor?
Yes. And I was on antidepressants for a long, long time. And about 6 months ago, I just weaned myself off of them because it seemed like they weren't doing any good.
Well, it's possible that you weren't on the right one. You know,
try something different.
Yeah, and that's not unusual at all. Or it's possible that you do have you know, what's called a psychogenic depression, or a depression that's actually coming, you know, from the loss. And mm-hmm. and what happens is when we lose someone, we can get stuck in something called complicated bereavement, which means it's very hard to move through it, and you need help to do that. The first thing you said when you came on the air was how I can pull myself out of this depression. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way to do it. You've got to connect with some people that can pull you out of this depression.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And
my family, you know, my children, my grandchildren have backed me up,
yeah,
encouraged me.
That's great. But I'm talking about, see, your children probably don't know a lot about treating depression.
Yeah.
And you need their support and you need their help. But I'd want you to talk to somebody, help you move through this grief process, and maybe a good grief group. Grief recovery group, mm-hmm. something like that.
Did you meet your husband that died very shortly after that other marriage of 20 years ended?
It was about 2 years.
Oh, 2 years. Okay.
I had swore to myself I'd never marry again,
uh-huh.
you know.
Oh, and then Prince Charming came along.
You know.
Yeah. Well, here's what we want you to be able to do. We want you to be able to celebrate his life rather than give up yours for it. And mm-hmm. and if you get to the right doctor and say, look, I tried this stuff, it stopped working or it never did work, I'd like to try something else because I need to get up and get out of the bed and get with people, I think you're going to be really pleased with that decision to go see a physician.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
And Virginia, you're not going to feel like doing anything. But you did make the call today,
yes.
And that's hopeful. So it's like, just what's the next thing you could do to help yourself?
Yeah. Okay. 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Let's talk with, how about Jean? Jean from Wilkes-Barre, help me figure that out. What is it, Jean? How do you pronounce that?
Wilkes-Barre,
WRGN is the station. Welcome to New Life.
Thanks.
You're welcome. How can we help, Gene?
I've been divorced for a couple of years now, and I'm pretty much doing okay. I have three daughters. I'm getting closer and closer to them. I have a grandson, I have four grandchildren. No, so that's all good. My ex-wife and I took our one grandchild to the fair this year. And that was wonderful. So, but still, she has no desire to get back together again. And, you know, I get really sad about it sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just want to know, you know, it's been 4 years, and, I exercise, I run. If I really get run down, then I start getting emotional about being divorced and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, is she involved with someone else? Has she totally moved on with her life?
I told you about taking the fair. She said she felt like holding my hand when we were at the fair. But right now she's dating somebody else.
Yeah. You know, when someone is like that, that's pretty tough to be in their presence, especially mm-hmm. when you...
I mean, it's great that you guys get along on the one hand and can co-grandparent.
Yeah,
But I think what you're saying, it's confusing.
Especially when she's saying, I want to hold your hand, and then that just builds up all mm-hmm. that stuff, all your hope.
But dating someone else.
Right.
Yeah, that's just cruel. So I guess my point is maybe you shouldn't subject yourself to that.
Well, maybe.
He's saying, forget you.
To me, it was practically worth it. You know what I mean? I mean, I pretty well knew at the end of the day we were going our separate ways. But to me, just being like, I felt like a normal family for couple hours, it was almost worth it.
Yeah, I hear you.
So but you're going through all the losses of not only losing your marriage, but the whole sense of family and everybody being together. There's kind of multiple levels to loss. It's like the gift that keeps
sure.
on giving.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think you should do? I mean, this is painful and 4 years.
Yeah, right.
And the divorce was 4 years ago?
I thought you said it was 2 years ago, but...
Well, it's been a couple years.
Thing.
I don't have a real good timeline and everything. But it's been a couple years now.
Okay. Well, Gene, there's nothing wrong with you, wanting your wife to come back. with you not liking being divorced. But to live in that position, you know, you have to take some action steps to live in the life that you have now, because this is where you're at. So again, you can ask God, you know, okay, open up those doors, you know, reopen those doors, but do the things that you need to do to move forward today. And that might mean that you don't subject yourself to things mm-hmm. that will be ultimately painful and keep yeah. you stuck.
Why did you guys divorce? What would you say in 30 seconds was the real reason?
That's a tough 30-second one. I wasn't a real good husband for quite a while. Okay. I'd say, like the last couple of years of our marriage, I started getting things straightened out.
Okay.
Maybe too late. But the final thing was, it was sort of like she left because, the final thing was, I guess she left because she wanted to move away and...
Hold on, we'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Okay, Gene, you were telling us about...
That wasn't 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'd say if I had to put it in a nutshell, I'd say differences in opinion became more important than the marriage, I would guess.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, that's something you don't usually hear people splitting over, a difference of opinion. What would be an opinion that would be strong enough where you'd end a marriage over it?
Well, at the end, it was, it was sort of over money and moving, and just the different times during the marriage. I know I've done a lot of things wrong during the marriage, but
can you just name a couple of them?
Worse and worse financially, and because of some of the things that were going on, and I just sort of and my wife said about moving, and I said, well, if we want to move, let's save some money first, and then if we want to move, we'll move, she didn't go with that, but because of other
can you give us something that happened in the marriage, some reason that...
Yeah, what's the worst thing you ever did? You said that you did some things. What's the worst thing you ever did?
Disrespectful to her. In front of the kids, done things disrespectful. We had some bad arguments.
Hmm.
Okay.
And
you worked on,
no,
have you worked
yeah,
on
no,
the...
Neither one of us were unfaithful or anything like
yeah.
that.
Is there evidence that she knows about that you worked on the anger?
Yeah, she, you know, she tells me, you know, she knows from what the kids are saying, from what she sees, you know, I'm becoming a better person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I'm moving ahead. That's what she says anyway.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter.
But she's moving on. She's got someone else that she's seeing.
But she's still saying a little too late.
Right? Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
You know what I would want to do if I were you, or would want me to want to do, I guess. Mm. It's a hard thing to do. But it's going to be the answer for either direction. You know, let's say in your wildest imagination that you guys somehow, you know, got back together. It would be because you had pursued a total life makeover and becoming a healthy, irresistible, so attractive because you're so relational and competent in life and all this, you have a full life.
And you finally get it.
Yeah, that she wouldn't be able to stay away from you. And if she never came back to you, that's the kind of life you would want anyway. So this emptiness kind of without her, I think you should begin to fulfill with jumping headlong into the deepest growth path that you can have and working on yourself and getting richer and richer in your soul and in your heart and your mind and your passions and strength and all of that, because that would be your only hope for her coming back, A. And B, if she didn't, and I don't mean this in a crass way, it wouldn't matter. In the sense of that it wouldn't end your life, you would have such a life, mm-hmm. and God could take you to the next place.
Yeah. You know,
okay.
you
so
know,
pursue wellness, pursue
that,
health.
Jim?
What do you think about that?
I heard you say it to lots of people. It sounds good. Hopefully, I'm, you know, part, you know, at least, and it's somewhat in the process. Like, you know, what you just told me, I've heard you say it lots of times.
Well, that
doesn't, you know, on the program.
Yeah,
but how
does
it relate to you?
Yeah. It means you pick up a phone and start putting some steps to it. It's not a theory. What I just said is something that people do every single day. It's something that we try to do every single day.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be theoretical. It has to do with you looking in the mirror and looking up to God and asking yourself a few questions. One of them out of the Beatitudes would be, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, which would be kind of the right life. So you got to ask yourself, am I hungrier and thirstier for the full right life that God has designed? Or am I hungrier and thirstier for this woman? And I guarantee you, as long as it is ever a person, then you're hungering after something that's not going to work. And that's not theory. That has meetings and phone calls and sit downs and workbooks and tasks associated with it. So yeah, we say it to a lot of people, but all we're doing is reading kind of the verses, right? And it's up to each of us every day to figure out, are we going to, you know, pick up that cross or not?
Now let me tell you something you've never heard. Okay.
Okay.
All right. When a woman divorces a man, it produces the same effect as, let's just say metaphorically, a lion having his mane sheared, and the woman looks at you, and here you are, this little powerless kitten, and she feels sorry for you, but inside she also knows that if she lets you back in her life, or her belief is that if she lets you back in her life, that mane is going to grow out again. And I believe you have to show her that mane or no mane, you're a strong man, a confident man, a competent man, a caring man who is connected in community, and then she feels safe with the roaring lion. But if you've had an anger problem, that's the things she's telling herself are the things that prevent her from wanting to hold your hand to move on forward with the relationship. So I would start to attack that very thing that she would be afraid of when your hair grew back or the mane grew back, who you would be once she had let you back in. And maybe there's a chance, but hopefully, whether she does or not, you're going to be the man that God has called you to be. We'll take a break and come back right after this, right after I say it is easy for a man to become in that weak position, which is very unappealing. We'll be back.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Let's talk to Christine from San Francisco, listening on KFAX. Hi, Christine.
Oh, hi, doctors. I really am very grateful to your ministry and help me learn some good godly principles.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking my call. Like I just learned the principle from you. You were mentioning a minute ago or an hour ago, squishing boundaries allow the person to squirm right in, and you get a squirmy relationship. I think that pretty much describes our situation.
Mm.
So who's our situation? I did not know better until very later. I had to take a big step and got the book. Someone told me boundary, and I read that book. Then I know there's such thing as this, as I should set boundary. So I never did in my past 30 years of marriage. Now we are married for 30 years, and thank the Lord that we are both committed to marriage and not divorce.
Yeah,
long time.
So my problem right now is hope deferred makes the heart sick. And loneliness in spirit and in soul, and I have some security problem, and I'm adrenal exhaustion, and my heart pumps. But I read a book, so I know the help of doing this naturally. But my biggest concern is I want to help my husband, who seems to be complacent. He has been hoping the right things, the good things, but he seems to not want to pay the cost in taking the steps to do those things. And he's not really taking the ownership of his problem to really seek the Lord to see what his main problem is and how to go about that. So I think the biggest trigger of the pain was I probably have taken offense for my children. So, we have in the 30th year of marriage, which is 2008, I felt that my wound was so deep, and I have taken. And it was the right time because we're in California, but we wanted to move to Boston, the whole family.
Okay. Now, I've got to get to a question so we can help you with something here. What is the question for us?
My question is how to help my husband to take ownership and be motivated to take initiative. Because I have,
of what?
Have made suggestions.
Of what? To take ownership of what?
Hold on a second.
Can you hear me?
Hold on just a second.
Can you hear us?
To take ownership of
what?
Of his problem.
What's his problem?
To follow through the things that he said.
What are the things?
Yes, such as, so it has been all these years, but the most recent thing is that after I moved back to California, he said, he would, because all the time I have been calling for counseling, and he said he would call, but I waited for half year and he still would not call. So I wasn't even, I'm not even sure if I did the right step to call you. But
well,
I thought,
let me say this real quick. We've said this on the show before. If you want your husband to get counseling, you know, you might need to make the appointment. If you make the appointment, set the date, set the time. He may show up.
And tell him when it is. We have an appointment on Wednesday at 5 o'clock. I want you there. But if you're not, I'm going to go by myself and talk about you and us and see, you know, the next steps that we need to take or I need to take in our relationship. I hope you come.
That increases your chances of him being there exponentially if you do it that way.
Yes, thank you very much for that suggestion. And over the years, actually, I have made this appointment, and he's really nice. He's willing to go. But the problem is, after going, somebody gave us a set of directions, but he would not do the things.
Right, but what did the counselor do when he didn't do them?
Recently, we have not been going to because...
Okay,
but what happened last time?
Last time, such as... One of our pastors told him that a maid or a servant can put on coats for your wife. Anybody can do that, so you cannot just look after her physical need, but you need to look after her spiritual need by like sanctifying your life. And
okay, so Christine, it sounds like, excuse me, for 30 years, you sound like someone who is kind of organized and is very responsible, follows through on tasks, and so you've kind of been the leader of the tasks. I'm hearing that for whatever reason, your husband either isn't wired that way, or you've done it all, so he's not, or he's just very, very passive. So you guys kind of have this dance. So I think going to somebody that just gives you tasks to do outside of the session probably is not going to be the most effective. You will have to get him there because he's proven that he will not take initiative for this. Mm-hmm. But to be in a process where the work actually happens in the counseling together, where you guys can understand each other and you can look at, is he afraid? Does he feel like you're so competent? Why should he step in? What is really happening between the two of you that causes him to not take any initiative?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so sorry. I think the bad news for a lot of people is that they want something to work, but the willingness to do anything is not there on the part of the other person. And it's just really sad that the willingness isn't there.
And it is sad. And then you have to ask the question, okay, what would produce willingness?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, after you've asked, then you start to go down this path. And I usually think that kind of the next question is, well, if I can't get them to do this, is it possible that they can catch it?
Mm-hmm.
Because health and growth and light and all of that
contagious.
We know is contagious.
Yeah.
So instead of getting him to change as a husband, say, why don't we go to a couples group? And what he'll do is he may get in a couples group and you're going through a book or watching, you know, whatever it is, and he sees other men getting relational and processing things. He's never seen that before.
Right.
He probably didn't see it in his father.
That's right.
And so,
he has more of an experience.
Exactly. You get him in a growth environment and you get him around growing people. That's another, you know, possibility. Then you ask the question, who has power in his life? Obviously, I don't, right? Because I've been trying for 30 years and can't get.
Right.
But who does? And you bring to bear all of that. Now, if that's not working, then you go to the next step of, okay, where is his not performing in these ways, not costing him anything?
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to look at, kind of, you know, the limits. Like, why don't we go out and do something? He's like passively resisting that. Why don't we go out and do something? Passively resisting that. Doesn't cost him anything. Okay, well, if you don't want to go, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to the movies with my friends and this, that, and the other. And he's not joining her in life. And then he learns that, you know, sitting at home all by himself, I don't like this. I better join her. Yeah. And on and on and on down the limits, kind of, you know.
Right, versus a boundary against something he really doesn't even care about.
He doesn't even care about it.
Right.
But so you got to make him care.
And it takes a bold move. Sometimes a bold move on your time, your part. From Clint, Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA. Clint, you're on the air. Hi, welcome.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great. How about you? What's going on in your life that we could help you with?
Well, yeah, I want to touch bases. I grew up as a Southern Baptist.
Me too.
And on the strength, I fell in love with a woman the Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during that time and growing together, I guess I really didn't give a lot of thought to what might be coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look at it that way. And then as, you know, God started working in my life, and I truly believe that she's a spiritual person. I truly believe that she has a prayer life.
Well, certainly. Like, yeah.
There are times that, you know, we have prayed together, but I don't intrude if she wants to have that meditation time by herself, and I understand that, and so it is with me, but as far as fellowshipping together, we don't, and I feel, and this is how I feel, that I have went with her to church on Saturday, because even though I go to church on Sunday, to me, if I'm fellowshipping, I'll go any day of the week. Don't make any difference.
Right. Okay.
But I would like for us to fellowship together, and I guess that's where that dichotomy lies.
Yeah. Okay. What's the question for us? I think we get the picture. You're Southern Baptist.
What could I do in order to put forth effort to enhance our spiritual life together?
Okay. And when you go to your church, what does she say is the reason that she doesn't want to go to your church?
Basically, the way the fellowship unfolds, she's not, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, the individuals have the charismatic tendency, but, you know, individuals do, you know, be in the spirit, and individuals in the spirit, you know, do as they are.
And that makes her uncomfortable?
Right, it does.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, we'll give you some help right after this, and I'm glad you called. I'll tell you, I know some amazingly wonderful Seventh-day Adventists, and I usually once a year do something with them. It's just, they just go to church on Saturday. We'll be back. They don't eat meat either. After this.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, Clint, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Clint, is there any chance that, you know, given her not feeling comfortable about the expression of faith at your church, that you could go to a different Southern Baptist church where it might be a little milder on Sundays?
Well, I have...
I'm not saying any of that is wrong. I'm just saying we're trying to get you guys together here.
Right.
Like meeting in the middle.
Well, you know, and I share this. I myself, you know, I move as the Spirit moved me.
Okay. And well, now look, you don't want to run off without her. I've seen this happen before where, you know, one is so spiritual that they lose the connection with the other person. And you know, the Bible says you need to be willing to lay down your life or lay down your agenda for her. And I would encourage you to be going to that Seventh-day Adventist church with her to show her that you support her.
I do.
Good. That's good.
Well, let me ask you this. What matters more to you, your relationship with her or the kind of church you go to? As long as, you know, I'm meaning any of the churches that you would go to would be a place where you would connect with the real God and the real Jesus mm-hmm. and his people. Is the form of worship in that particular hour a week more important to you than being with her? If it is, that might have answered your question. But if it's not, then that may be an hour that you give up and you pursue certain forms of activities with God at other times during the week.
Well, I guess that is something that I wrestle with also.
Wow.
Because I know that as my priorities go, I do put God first.
Now, you didn't hear me. I didn't say not put God first. Mm-hmm. I said put 1 hour of a certain form of activity with God maybe further down on the list than her. So certainly God is first. But what you're not talking about, you know, it's not like she worship is worshiping Baal or something. You know, she's a believer in Jesus. Mm-hmm. You would be in that hour with the woman that you love, worshiping the guy that you love. You just wouldn't be doing it in the form that you want that hour. And there's a lot of other hours during the week that you could go somewhere. I'm just wondering how this particular form gets to be the most important thing for that 1 hour.
I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. That
well, here's what he's saying. You can't equate going to church and worshiping the way you worship. That is not necessarily putting God first. See, that could be taking that hour away from Sunday and you put it on Wednesday night, where you're doing exactly the same thing, you're worshiping that way. But perhaps on Sunday, you go to her church. Saturday, mm-hmm. you go to her church, and you support her through that. So
I'll give you a great example of this from my own life. My kids got to an age, our kids got to an age, where what they needed in a church was most... We were able to most find that the most in a church that really didn't have the kind of service and the kind of worship and everything that I would have liked the most.
Mm-hmm.
But the form of worship wasn't the most important thing.
Right. Well, I go with it when she go. I mean, if
right.
Well, we're not talking about that piece though. I don't have a problem with going with her.
Okay, so what is the problem?
Okay, but Clint,
is
this the one area where you guys aren't in sync? Because
I feel that if I fellowship with her, then she's maybe to do the same thing with me.
Well, that's not maybe not. That's not exactly perhaps what the Bible says. Let me give you an example of this. One of the particular passages. Now I know we're not on a theological show here, but I got to get something out here. One of the passages that speaks specifically about this is in Romans 14, and it talks about different expressions of faith. And it says one person, for example, considers one day more sacred than another. And another person considers every day alike. Some people it's Saturday, some people it's Sunday, et cetera, et cetera. It says everybody's got to be convinced in their own mind. But then when it's talking about all these things that are just personal preferences, which is what you're talking about, down at the end, it says that we who are strong, in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. And so if what you're saying is that you're strong and mature and all of this, that very strength and maturity is what enables us to not seek sometimes pleasing ourselves and be able to kind of give things up for the sake of somebody else that kind of can't come our way on some of these things. Yeah. And where you keep the main thing is relationship. And that's kind of a different way of saying what I was saying.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, almost out of time. Jill's got one final comment here.
I'm also hearing, Clint, that you're wanting things to be equal and fair. So this kind of brings up some dynamics in relationships. And relationships are filled with compromise, and that doesn't mean they're always equal.
I'm going to send you Every Man's Marriage. If you will read this, I think it will give you a different perspective on the whole subject. And just want to be sure that you know we want you to put God first. But there is a way to put God first and not trample on her lesser spirituality or whatever it is.
And sometimes give up what you rightly deserve.
Yeah.
You know, and you rightly deserve for this to she come your way, but for whatever reason she mm-hmm. can't. And mm-hmm. in any relationship, if we're looking for what we deserve, at some point it's going to break it apart.
Yeah. Christ deserved to stay in heaven. But he didn't. He came down and he saved us, and we're glad he did. We're just about out of time. I want to remind you of the Marriage Workshop May 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C., and also our radio rally Wednesday and Thursday night, our WAVA radio rallies. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, I sure hope that you'll come and join us for those rallies Wednesday and Thursday. We're going to have a great time there in the D.C. area. You can find out where and how and what by going to the website, newlife.com, or you could even call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When you support our ministry, we will send you a copy of Mylon and Kay's new book, How We Love Our Kids. It's a great, great directive on, you know, maybe how to rescue your parenting from the, maybe you don't have a structure or a process that you can rely on that or a foundation. This will help you with that. And it will help you see your role and how you relate to each other and to your child. Also, if you'd like a copy of Henry's book, Necessary Endings, his new book, ask for that. Just say, hey, I want to give this gift, but I want to ask for Henry's book, and we'll make that our gift to you. We love you. We pray for you. We're going to be praying for you in the morning at our devotional time. And we really hope that you'll pray for us. If you don't support us financially, I know you can support us by praying for us that we will be here ministering, helping people who are really struggling. That's what we want to do. And so pray for us. But if you can, support us financially by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. And our little thing that we've figured out is that it's $110 to buy one day of radio time in your area. That's the average cost, and maybe you could buy one day. If so, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. Thank you, Dr. Henry Cloud. Good to be with you. Thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Great to be with you. And to all of you, thank you for listening to us. We are so grateful. And thank you to those that support us. It means a lot to us. So have a great day and a great tomorrow. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.